Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I am Tom Takara, the Wolf of Dog Street, here for another week. Joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, buddy?
Doing very well, doing very well. Just had the big birthday, and now I'm feeling good. 30-year-old man.
30-year-old man. How was the birthday?
Birthday was great. It was a lot of fun.
Incredible. How does it feel to be 30?
Oh, man. My back hurts. My legs hurt.
Ass hurt. Crack hurt. That pussy hurt. Back hurt.
Yeah, the pussy's hurting. But yeah.
I want to, before we introduce the guests, I want to say one thing real fast. Two quick things, actually. First off, I'll be at Dr. Grin's in Michigan this weekend doing my first stand-up dates. And I want to say that up top in case somebody stops listening 30 seconds in for whatever reason. But I will be doing live stand-up. It's going to be weird and fun. But yeah, Dr. Grin's in Michigan this Thursday through Saturday, if you're listening to it the week this comes out. Also, hop on the old Patreon. We're doing hour-long episodes each week, bonus episodes, where we talk about music we do like. And then also, Worst Song on Spotify we brought back. If you have Worst Song on Spotify submissions, send them in. And if you're above the $6 mark, I'm sending out koozies. I've been busting my ass all day, working my little hump off, getting these koozies mailed out. So get on the Patreon. And without further ado, let's introduce our guest for today. We got the hilarious Eagle Wit is with us today. How are you, buddy?
All right, I'm chilling, man. You know, it's nice out.
I love that you're recording outside.
Our first outdoor guest, yeah.
Where are you at?
I was in the crib, and I was like, I should go out. I'm upstate right now.
Oh, shit. Your Wi-Fi is all fucked up,
I'm
Eagle.
Upstate.
Okay. You're huh? Upstate? Yeah, probably because you're outside. I assume that's
now.
It. Maybe it's mine.
That sounds better.
Yeah, that already sounds a little better. That's good.
Closer to the crib.
How's upstate?
It's cool, man. You know, it's boring. But it's, like, way calmer corona-wise.
Sure. You just said you saw a chipmunk. That's fun.
Yeah, man. I've seen a lot of them. Chipmunks. All types of shit. Big ass spiders.
Oh, like it.
That's why I'll never want to live outside of a city again, is spiders. Honestly, like, I feel like you see so much less. I was at my mom's house and there was a giant spider that she had a picture of that fell from the top of the tub to in the tub. And it made me never want to use her shower again. It was and or sleep, you know.
I'm not with that. Like, my girl wanted me to kill spiders, and I wouldn't do it. Like, I had to get spider spray. Like, I got bug spray, and I was like, now I can do it. But like, I wasn't gonna. No, I'm not smashing it. Let's go to the store. Let's get some bug spray.
Hell yeah! This is the first time I've been using bug spray in a while, because I find myself now with Corona. I'm not really an outdoors guy, but because of Corona, I feel myself wanting to be. We got a little rooftop here. We've been hanging out on. We've been spending a bunch of time doing that. We have a hammock. It's we're really trying to get it going. But the bug spray really fucks it all up. I feel like I have to have bug spray constantly because I'm a sweet little boy, you know.
Have you done any outside shows yet?
I haven't yet. I have been. It's funny, before all this stuff, before these parking lot shows started, my girlfriend's mom pitched the idea of drive-in shows, and I was like, "That is a great idea." And then now people are doing it, and I don't know if it is a great idea. Who knows?
I don't know if it is. I mean, I see they're starting. Trying to do like the outside shows where people are like spaced out and sitting down outside. Like,
yeah, that looks good. The people outside is fine. It's the people in their cars that's weird to me. Where it's like somebody sitting in their car honking at you. That feels weird. But I'm surprised you haven't been doing these. I've all the people who I thought would be back to stand up the fastest. I would have said Eagle Wit.
I think I've been actually getting hit up with similar people. Have been saying similar things to me about that. I don't know, dog. I'm just trying to live, man. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, you know, long-term stand-up is more important than short-term stand-up, as much as I miss stand-up.
True. Mm. And again, I'll be at Dr. Grin's in Grand Rapids this week. I understand what you mean, and I'm also a little freaked out about this shit, but we'll see how it goes. I've been asking people, because I'm not the first week, so, and some clubs are doing it. I know some people have been touring, especially in the South, but now the numbers are going back up, so I don't know what's going to happen. Hopefully, yeah. I don't get it. I'm driving to Michigan because I'm trying to reduce the risk as much as I can.
Smart, smart, smart. I just saw they said 500 Delta workers had it.
Oh my God!
I did fly Delta yesterday, so that is good news.
That's good.
I mean, like, I don't know, man. I'm real curious. I've been asking people how different clubs are doing it. Like, cause I want to get back on stage, but I want to do it in a way where it makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah. I'm very curious how New York clubs are going to handle it. But hopefully Seller said maybe August. We'll see. I was on that, live at the Seller or whatever it is on, that they do on YouTube, and Noam said maybe August. I don't know if that means it's going to happen or not, but we will see. That's crazy about the Delta thing. I'm not surprised, though, because these people are in enclosed spaces. A lot of people aren't wearing their masks. Did you know that on Spirit you have to pay $3 to wear a mask? They won't let you wear one. No, I'm just kidding. Why would they charge you more for that?
I was on a Delta flight with my girlfriend, and right before we took off, she Googled like Delta coronavirus, and since we started reading those same articles, like right before we took off, I was like, it's too late. Like,
there's no reason to do that sort of research. Yeah. You can't do that.
Yeah, why are you?
That's like looking up like plane crash, world's worst plane crashes right before you get on. let's get into our topic today. We got a juicy one. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about this. Eagle pitched to us Kanye West, who we have briefly talked about before. We've kind of vowed to never do a whole Kanye episode in the past, partially because Rob Hayes and Chris what the hell is Chris's last
Chris
name?
Chris Daniels.
I'm a dumbass. Chris Daniels, yeah. They have the Book of Ye, and they cover Kanye better than anybody else could. But we talked about the new shit he put out. We talked about Ye when that came out, right? Did we do a Ye episode?
We did, yeah. And we had Rob and Chris on once to talk about something else, specifically Kanye, too. But we haven't done 808s and Heartbreaks yet, which was definitely at the time super hated on,
yes.
I remember, just like by people. Do you remember, Eagle, like with like your friends and everything, where you were at, what people, how they reacted to it when it came out?
Yeah, everybody hated 808s and Heartbreaks. And I'm such a Kanye groupie. Like, I'm convinced. As crazy as this sounds, I'm convinced I'm his number one fan. Like, I'm convinced. I'm such a Kanye groupie, and I loved it. I thought it was fire. I was like, oh, this is different. I like it. And eventually, I think it grew on people, you know? Mm-hmm. I liked it since day one.
Yeah. You liked it from day one?
Day one.
That is shocking.
I'm a fan, though. Like, yeah, I love that. He could literally just put out a song of silence, and I'd be like, this shit.
The first time I felt like I was tested with Kanye was when he put out that Scoopity Poop shit, and I was like, I don't know. And then I liked it. After a while, I liked it. My girlfriend kept playing it, and she was like, the first part's pretty good. And then the more I listened to it, because people were making fun of it, and it was really stupid that people were making fun of it, because it was a joke.
Yeah, he's not serious, but the beat was fire.
It was good. He was right. He could just be like, Scoopity Poop, and it's fun. I liked it. Okay, we had a small hiccup there, but we're good. I was saying, me and Tommy have been, we both love Kanye. We used to listen to Kanye all the time in our old apartment. Some of my favorite memories are singing some Kanye at 3 a.m. with Tommy, just hammered. And I don't know when, like, I can't say that I'm still totally on board, because I didn't like the gospel shit that he did. I like, that was maybe the end for me, but I liked 808s pretty quickly. I really did. Tommy, how did you feel about 808s when it came out?
So So 808s, I was an initial hater who grew to appreciate it later once I realized, you know, how influential it was. And I think I liked like Paranoid and Amazing from the start. I think I really liked those, but I just couldn't really play the album front to back. I think partially because I was like 18 and I was like really happy at the time. And I was
sure.
like just not in the same place as Kanye was at that moment.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, I get
so
that.
But then like looking back, especially now seeing how much it impacted music going forward, it's like clearly such an important album, and I definitely respect it a lot now.
For sure. Let's go ahead and play a song off 808s just to get people in the mood. So what a lot of people don't like about this album and what they hated at the time specifically was the use of auto-tune. So let's hear some of Love Lockdown. I'm not, unless we, do we want to just sample every song? There's not that many. Fuck
yeah,
it.
Sure.
Let's just
yeah.
play Say You Will. Let's start it off where it starts.
Why would she make calls out the blue? Now I'm awake, sleeping soon.
So that is the opening track. That's the first few bits of it. And yeah, people were taken aback. I remember I was in college when this came out, and everybody at that time had felt like loved Kanye. And it was openly made fun of. Everybody I talked to hated it. I remember being in like classes with people I didn't even know, and that was like just a conversation topic was how bad the new Kanye was. But I also had just, you know, dealt with a little heartbreak when this was coming out, and I related to it. What are your favorite tracks from this album, Eagle?
Coldest Winter was phenomenal. I think Amazing was the single, was really good.
Yeah.
Young Jeezy.
Say You Will's fire, but you know what? Say You Will got spoiled for me because Trey Songz at the time was dropping like these like rap mixtapes. They were like half R&B, half rap. And he did a rap cover of Say You Will that was better than Kanye's version. It was like so good. Like amazing.
I want to hear that. Hold on. How do we find that? Is that on Spotify?
No, it's probably on YouTube.
Damn. Hold on.
Like a mixtape version of Say You Will, but it's really good. Like it's to the point now I hear Say You Will.
I'm going to try it. Hold on. Oh, here we go. All right. I'm going to play a little bit of this. Oh, shit. There's two ads. I hate when they give you two ads. One is enough.
We were so official. See the tears to my tissue when my shoulder was the tissue for her tears. I told her my fears. She told me her fears. She said she'd do whatever so we make it through the years. So why is the moment here when we not together? Thought we supposed to be forever. Sick to my stomach, wanna vomit and I'm bumming. I ain't got a hair cutting by the mutton. I be fronting when you calling in the morning like you want it. But you
hey,
know you
it's
just
like, oh shit, an R&B singer killed it.
I do like that better.
I do too. Yeah. But, you know, it wouldn't exist if Kanye hadn't put it out there. So you got to give him a little credit for that. But that is good. I'm going to listen to that later. I'm going to hear the whole thing. Yeah, that is that's good shit.
And he talks about not getting a haircut in a month, which is very relatable.
Very relatable. Extremely relatable.
Prophecy. He saw it coming for evidence.
Trey Songz knew, yeah.
You know, I think the most important thing about 808s and Heartbreak is Drake. I think without 808s and Heartbreak, there's no Drake as we know him.
Absolutely, yeah.
Totally.
I mean, just emo rap in general, this opened it up for me. I love it. Because this was, Graduation was right before this, right?
Yeah.
And graduation is such a different vibe. And we should set the stage a little bit. Kanye lost his mom and went through a breakup with what's the name of the lady?
Amber Rose, maybe.
I always thought it was Amber Rose.
Yeah, it's not Amber Rose. It's Alexis Pfeiffer. Yeah.
Yeah. I always, my whole life, thought it was Amber Rose.
I did too.
It was about, yeah.
That's so weird. Yeah, I also thought that until I looked it up today and I was like, oh shit, that wasn't even who I thought it was. And I remember seeing this lady, but I wasn't keeping too much track of Kanye's personal life at the time. Speaking of which, you're saying that you think you're Kanye's number one fan, Eagle. Why is that? Like, what is it that draws you to Kanye over anybody else?
I don't know. It could be, I mean, I remember when Kyle's Dropout came out, I remember hearing it and then like digging up his old stuff and being like, oh, there's like a mixtape, Freshman Adjustment. And I remember like being like obsessed and thinking this guy is so different and so like creative and stuff. And then it started going and going and going. And then I remember him saying George Bush doesn't like black people. And I remember being like, I like this. Like, I like and it wasn't even the political statement as much as it was the fact he had the balls to say it.
Yeah.
Sure. I was like, that's so fucking dope. Like, I'm a fan of the person now.
That moment is one of the funniest moments of all time.
Well, Mike Myers is standing right there.
So the look on Mike Myers' face is so funny.
Chris Tucker like.
The only thing that could have been funnier about that is if for some weird reason Mike Myers was in the fat bastard costume. But as is, it's still a very hilarious moment. Good and bad, he's given us a lot of moments. What's that?
Was that the last time we saw Mike Myers?
That might be.
Maybe, yeah.
That. What else does... He has to have done something recently, but he was like in makeup or something that
I'm
forgetting about.
The Gong Show reboots, but as a character, he hosted
right.
that. Which is, bizarre.
Are they rebooting Wayne's World? Is that happening anytime soon?
Mm.
Feels like it could happen. No, I'm thinking of what's the other franchise they're rebooting? Ted and What's-His-Ass. I prefer Ted and What's-His-Ass is excellent. what do you call it? yeah, that might be the last time we saw Mike Myers then. Because Goldmember was before that, right? Goldmember was like 04 or some shit like that, I think. I feel like I was in high school. Doesn't matter. What's that?
Wasn't that the one with Beyonce in it?
That was Beyonce in it.
Foxy Cleopatra was Beyonce's character.
Let's see. Goldmember year.
2002.
Okay, I was pretty close. I'll take that. so that might be it. That might be it for Mike Myers. There has to be something later than that. Was there another Shrek after that?
Well, he was in Inglourious Basterds very briefly. I'm
he was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who was he?
He was Brad Pitt. He was in that part. I don't know.
All right. Well, there you go. I'm just shocked by this because he's such a star, and I feel like, I guess that's it. I guess that's it for the old Mike Myers. Maybe that did fuck up his career, just that moment.
Didn't recover. No PTSD from it.
I'm really not seeing anything here, at least nothing that, like, was big. He was so funny, too. There's that moment, obviously. What is your take on the old Taylor Swift v. Kanye scandal?
I do have a take.
What do you got?
It was wrong. The action of it was wrong, right? The action of it was wrong.
When you say the action, you mean him at the MTV. You mean him at the Music Awards or the voicemail stuff? Or I mean the phone call stuff and the editing.
I mean him at the Music Awards, like him taking the microphone and fucked up for a moment. That was wrong.
Yes.
But what was right? Is technically right now, hear me out, right? Because nobody ever says this. I swear, I feel like I'm the only one that caught this. All right, so Beyonce that night won Music Video of the Year,
yes,
and she lost Female Music Video of the Year to Taylor Swift.
Wait, is that right?
That is right.
Wow,
which makes you think technically Kanye was objectively correct.
That's crazy.
That is a great point. That
why do they even have two different categories?
I don't know, but it's is a girl, which she looks very much like one.
Wait, what?
She should have won.
Hold
against
on. I feel like we have to fact check this, because why the fuck would they have... Why would they have best music video of the year and best female music video of the year? Oh, that's such a weird...
This was back when MTV, like, people would watch no matter what they did. People would just watch MTV for hours, and they could just say whatever the fuck they want.
That's true.
Like their music still was on MTV.
Yeah,
exactly.
They let Celebrity Deathmatch host the awards one year. They're like, how was a whole show celebrity? That's what they did. I made that up. Let me see here. Best music video. And it was at the same award ceremony? Or a different...
It was at the same award show.
This can't be true, man.
And nobody ever talks about it. I'm like, wait, well, he was technically right.
Yeah.
Well, why I feel like you read this on some sort of Kanye West fan conspiracy-ass page. I'm trying to find here. List of awards and nominations received by Beyonce. Okay. Oh, my God. There's way too many. It's 800.
That is a very, very successful woman.
That is. What year did that happen?
2009.
Was it 2009?
Yeah. 'Cause last year was all the 10-year anniversary shit.
Okay. So, 2009.
No, I'm looking at it right now.
Here it is.
You find it?
You Belong With Me, female video, single ladies, video.
Video of the year.
That is crazy.
Eagle is correct. He has changed the entire narrative.
Truly insane. All right. I think who among us could argue that, that the logic is not there?
I mean, he was wrong for ruining her moment. He was right in what he said.
So, Tommy, apologize. Tommy is a T-Swift apologist.
I love them both, so I'm happy that it's it seems like it's over now.
T-Mac always saying there were good people on both sides.
Oh my God. Well, while we're on the MTV, I'll switch over to the sister network VH1, because when we said we were doing 808s, my friend sent me this clip from Kanye's VH1 Storytellers that he said we had to play on the show, so I'm gonna play that really quick. This is from the amazing performance of Storytellers.
You have to be amazing sometimes. And I know I do not always state popular opinion. Amazing. Michael Jackson, amazing. Michael Phelps, amazing. O.J. Simpson, amazing.
What? What?
Is he not? What he did, was he not amazing, though? I think I saw on a movie. I get my quotes from movies because I don't read. Or from, like, go figure, real life or something. Like, live real life, talk to real people, get information. Ask people questions. And it was something about you either die a superhero or you live to become the villain. I'm chilling.
Amazing.
So he never explains what he means about OJ.
Truly amazing. I mean, he gets all of his information from talking to people. So maybe he just talked to OJ Simpson. Yeah. That's crazy. I wish I had gotten a picture of your face while that was happening, Eagle. Your jaw was on the ground.
Never fails to amaze. He's amazing.
I mean, between that OJ talk and Bill Cosby innocent, I feel like we have a hero. I love that he misquoted Batman also.
Dark Knight,
yeah. Where he said, you either live long enough... What's that?
Go ahead.
Oh, it's the quote is you either die a hero or you live long enough to become the villain, right? It's like one of the most famous movie quotes of all time. He had a superhero.
It's such a weird three people to pick. It's Michael Jackson, who gets a big round of applause. Then Michael Phelps. Then O.J. Simpson.
That felt like just word association for a second there. He's like, I already said one Michael. I should balance it out with another Michael. And then I thought for sure he was going to say Michael Jordan and instead went O.J.
Yeah,
I thought Michael Jordan was coming too. That's a very unpredictable man. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I watched that, but I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah.
What I do remember from it was a great quote, in my opinion, that I thought was hilarious that he had, which Paul Mooney shared the same sentiment about Richard Pryor, where he said, what did he say? He's like, the saddest thing about my life is I can't watch myself perform. Fucking brilliant. It's so funny. That's what Paul Mooney said. Paul Mooney was like, the saddest thing about Richard Pryor is he could never watch himself perform.
Oh, and then Kanye said it about himself. That is so funny, man. That's beautiful. He's very funny. I'm tempted to ask you, I just want to know. I feel like we have to talk about it a little bit. What are your thoughts about his Trump shit? And I'll edit this out if it sucks, but I'm curious.
Oh, I'm all in, bro. I'm all in. All right, so recently there's been an update on his Trump shit.
Yes.
Where he backpedaled and he said it was all just to get some people out of prison. He's not really a Trump supporter. Mm-hmm. He threw away all the MAGA stuff. And if that is true, I mean, checkmate. Like, that shit's fire. That shit is dope.
I want to believe it.
I also want to believe it. He also did put his money where his mouth was. Like, he actually put his money where his mouth wasn't for a long time, which means way more. So who knows?
And Obama. Checkmate, dog. I think that's pretty dope.
Checkmate. I was happy that came to light. I hope that it is true and that he is not just a truly that he's just off his rocker sometimes. It did make it harder to listen sometimes. I still listen to the shit. But again, I just don't like the gospel stuff. We should get back to 808s though. But I felt like we had to. If we didn't address that, I feel like somebody would have messaged us. Anyway, here is another song off of 808s and Heartbreak. This is Welcome to Heartbreak with Kid Cudi. I'm going to skip forward. And all I get was a brand new sports car. Cake. I gotta be honest, I totally forgot about this song. This is one that I never go back to, so I forgot about it. Do either of you have any feelings about that song?
It's fine.
Yeah, it's like a precursor to Kids See Ghosts, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Which is good. I like Kids See Ghosts a lot.
Too. I'm not a huge Cudi fan. I know people love Cudi. I'm like, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
You know, I get the humming. The humming is cool.
I did like Kids See Ghosts. I think I liked Ye more than Kids See Ghosts, though. I still think Ye was my favorite of all. And maybe
The Pusha T one was my favorite.
I think, was my second favorite in retrospect as far what I go back to. No, I probably listened to the Pusha T album more than Ye, but
impressive to me about that span where he was making all those albums is the fact he made Teyana Taylor listenable.
Like, damn!
Her album, like, this is pretty fucking good. Who cares that she can't sing? This is great.
God damn, Eagle, he puts out one woman's album, you gotta take her down?
But she was trash. Yo, it's not about her being a chick. She's just trash. Yo, the chick that's on Ghost Town, 078 Shape, whatever her name is, she's fire.
That song's unbelievable.
That song is great. That's the best song on that album. It's so good. Let's hear Heartless. In the night, I hear this is just undeniably a banger.
How could you be so cold as the winter wind when it breeze, yo? Just remember that you talking to me, though. You need to watch the way you talking to me, yo. I mean, after all the things that we've been through, I mean, after all the things we got into. Ayo, I know of some things that you ain't told me. Ayo, I did some things, but that's the old me. And now you wanna get me back and you gon' show me. So you walk around like you don't know me. You got a new friend, well, I got homies. But in the end, it's still so lonely.
Love that song. Now we're getting into the ones that I really, that I go back to a lot. Heartless is great.
I remember when the video for Love Lockdown came out, I remember thinking, like, how can anybody not like this?
That's another one where the beat is so good. Let's listen to Love Lockdown, because that one is another one that I just don't understand how anybody couldn't like it. I'm going to start it back over, because that...
Such a heavy drum. It's dope.
In the car with this on? It's so fun.
I'm loving you way I wanted to. What I had to do, had to run from you. I'm in love with you, but the vibe is wrong, and it haunted me all the way home. So you never know, never, never know, never know enough till it's over, love, till we lose control. Since the moment, screaming no.
I'll also say, I think 808s and Heartbreak is the first time in my life where I ever heard music and thought to myself, I don't know what genre this is. Like, I was I like it, but I don't know what this is. Like, I kind of felt that way about Yeezus, too, where I was like,
yes.
I don't know what this is.
Yeah, totally.
I want to talk about, I think someday maybe we should do a Yeezus episode, because it is so controversial. And I have a pretty controversial opinion on it, or at least it was when it came out. And we'll get into it after we hear a couple more songs, because I have a question for you. And I think we've probably done this between me and you, Tommy, on the show, but I want to hear Eagle's take on it. Like, I'll get into it in a minute. But I want to play. Love Lockdown, by the way. It's at least according to Song Facts, this was West's first ever single to feature no rapping, just singing. And man. I thought he did a great job with it. He's obviously not an incredible singer, but he, you know, I think he makes it work. And genre changing, you know, like you said, I had never heard stuff like that. I didn't listen to anything like this before. I don't remember any. T-Pain was his influence on a lot of this, I've heard, right?
I think so. I think T-Pain came out first.
As far as auto-tune, yeah. Definitely.
Just for the auto-tune, but yeah. Yeah, there was. I don't think there was music like this before, at least nothing that I knew. And now I think what you said about Drake is absolutely right. Now let's hear Amazing, which we just heard kind of a second ago, but it wasn't the same.
It's amazing. I'm the reason everybody fired up this evening. I'm exhausted.
This was in NBA 2K. Like 11 or something like that. It's so good. Any song that's in 2K, I'll always love.
Oh yeah.
It's amazing. So amazing. So amazing. So amazing. It's amazing. So amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's just a good hype up song, and I can just see the, like, I can see my player warming up to this. Just getting me hyped.
So I was reading a lot of reviews that came out at the time when this came out, just to see. Some people were on it right away, like, this is a game-changing album, like, this is an instant classic. But a lot of them were really negative. And one of the quotes was specifically about Amazing. This is from the Boston Globe. This is what they said. They said, the biggest problem here is West's songwriting. Some of his better lyrics would be clever as rhymes in a rap song, but they're not strong enough to build into full-blown choruses. The shockingly shallow hook of amazing is just West looping the words so amazing. Not even guest rapper Young Jeezy, sounding like he's just snuffed out his 100th cigarette of the day, gives the song much life.
Jesus. That sucks. Right? I totally forgot. I read this Rolling Stone 10-year anniversary article about the album. It's like a remembering Kanye West's most influential album, the raw rushed making of 808s and Heartbreak. And it's, of course, it mentions that a lot of people shit on it, but it's very favorable.
Well, including Rolling Stone at the time, because I have quotes from them, too.
Oh, really? That they shit on it?
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. Of course they did.
I have two quotes from them. I'll do them really
quick.
Let's
hear it.
One of them was, like many sad sacks, Kanye likes the sound of his own whimper, which is brutal. And the other one was, this noble failure of an album might easily have been a noble success if he had tweaked the funometer just a little bit.
The funometer?
It's like, funometer. His person... mom died. Like,
you're
hey, I know
you. About your mom dying.
Look, that's why they make a funometer. Sometimes your mom dies, and you got that's why it's there for you to turn it up. Otherwise, most people that got their funometer at about a 1 most of the time, and then just your natural serotonin makes up for the rest of it.
Club bangers about your mom's death. Come on, man. To your mom's funeral.
Yeah, you like the and also. The his life was bad. It was bad around this time. It's so funny. We turned the funometer up. I was reading about obviously 50 Cent talked shit about it, but that makes sense. They already had shit from when Graduation and whatever 50's album then came out.
Curtis, yeah.
Yes. So it makes sense. But what is the part? Oh. Someone said Basker. Who's this Basker guy? I think he might have been involved in making the album, but I could be wrong. Said watching 808s get made, it's like witnessing the birth of cubism. 808s and Heartbreak and Picasso's Calling Card were separated by over a century, but both were hated in their time. How is this person a professional writer? 50 Cent isn't exactly Louis Vossé. I think that's what this is, the French art critic who dismissively invented the term cubism. But his critique was just as harsh. I'm surprised he got away with it, he said in a 2009 radio interview. That album is supposed to be a brick. Much to the chagrin of the traditional hip-hop gatekeepers, West's most experimental work sold... work has sold, this is a typo on them, not even me, work has sold 1 million copies and spawned the 6-time platinum Heartless and the triple platinum Love Lockdown. Interesting. But yeah, of course 50
they commented
it.
On Jeezy's voice.
Yeah.
Because literally yesterday, I googled the lyrics right when you said that. Yesterday, I was listening to a Jeezy song and he said, I was laughing so much over it. He said, she said, "Young, why your voice so hoarse? I just sound like money, baby. I should have been a Porsche." Vroom. Vroom.
He said, "Vroom." That is genius.
I think rappers are funnier than comedians. I really do. I think they're the funniest people alive.
They definitely can be.
Lil Wayne is like a joke writer.
Yes.
Yeah. Lil Wayne has legit jokes.
Yeah, so often. They're like, yeah, I mean, it's punchlines. So if they, I would like to see some of them do stand up. Chance tried and it sucked, and that pissed me off that he was very. I don't know. I don't even want to get into it because it'll piss people off. But I'm angry at Chance for shitting on stand up.
Get that.
Anyway, I want to listen to two songs back to back, and then we'll have we listened to Paranoid yet? Oh, we got to listen to Paranoid.
My favorite one.
Great.
This is such. Oh, it's so good right from the start.
So good.
Yeah, that's a good Paranoid.
He turned up the funometer for this one.
so paranoid, no. Don't be so paranoid, no. Don't be so, baby, don't worry about it. Hate it, don't even think about it. You worry about the wrong things, the wrong thing. You worry about the wrong things.
Man. So good.
It's so fun. It's so good. I love that song. And then I want to hear RoboCop too. What's
really
that?
Quickly.
Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say really quickly, I just found out something that blew my mind, which is that Mr. Hudson was a white British man. I always...
What?
I never thought that. I
really?
Always thought he was a black guy, yeah.
Oh, shit.
I never even thought to look up Mr. Hudson.
He's a blonde white guy, yeah.
I feel like actually I've listened to some other Mr. Hudson shit. Let me check real fast. I feel like there's at least one Mr. Hudson song. Let's see here.
I have two things, you guys. Two things to say.
Yeah.
Can I possibly finish the Zoom call on my phone? My laptop's dying.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And number two, it just popped in my head. Pinocchio story?
Yes. I was like, saving that for last because it's...
All right, we'll get to it last.
Yeah, we'll play that last. It's very silly, Pinocchio's story. While you switch over to your phone, I'm going to play some Mr. Hudson and see if it's what I thought it was. So this is... never mind. This is Young Forever. And Mr. Hudson also played... Yeah, this is what I was thinking of. Okay. Let me admit. That's so funny. Man, Mr. Hudson rules. I remember liking this a lot. That's crazy. Obviously it's just Forever Young, but I like his voice on it a lot. I remember looking him up when that Jay-Z album came out, and it's like one of those weird memories that that flashed up there.
Now that I hear him, he sounds white though.
He is, yeah. That song makes it way more obvious, I think.
That song made me look very stupid when you played that.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
All I heard was, I'm white.
And Tommy was like, a white guy? Phil Collins? all right, let's hear one more song, and then I want to ask my big question here, and then we'll finish off with Pinocchio's story. I want to play, is the next song that I was going to play Streetlights? We haven't played RoboCop. I'm gonna play RoboCop first and then Streetlights. I'm a RoboCop. Somebody please make a stop. Even though this song kind of sucks, I love it. Like, lyrically it's very stupid, but I do like it. This part is great. I love that. All right. And then the next song, real fast, is Streetlights. This is the emo. This is where it starts to turn emo hard the rest of the way.
Do I still got time to grow? Things ain't always set in stone. That feeling, let me know. Let me. Seems like streetlights glowing happen to be just like moments passing in front of me. So I hopped in.
I love that song.
Great song.
That's maybe my That might be my favorite song on the album, even though it's not a single at all, and it's one that I would never put on for anybody, but I listened to that a lot when I was all sad in Chicago, just listening to Streetlights. All right, here's my big question for you, Eagle, and Tommy, I want you to answer as well, even though, like I said, we might have done this before, but it may have changed. Rank the albums. What order do you put Kanye's albums in?
Am I going right now? This question for me.
I figured as Kanye's number one fan, you might have an order.
What? It changes in my head like every day.
Sure. Right, how are you feeling today?
Fantasy's number one, no matter what.
What's that?
Every single day, Beautiful.
Yes.
Fantasy is number one for me. Every single day.
Sure.
Number two, College Dropout. Number three,
wow.
Watch the Throne. Also, Watch the Throne in there.
You're throwing Watch the Throne at number three?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think it's just fun comparing verses when it comes to Jay-Z and Kanye. It's just pure fire lyrically. The whole album is fire lyrically. 808s. I throw 808s.
Damn. 808s is high. Okay.
Late Registration.
All right.
Before Late Registration, I throw The Life of Pablo.
Okay.
Then Late Registration.
Damn.
Then Yay.
Wow.
Then Yeezus. No. Before Yay and before Yeezus, I'm actually from Jesus is King. I actually liked it.
Oh, wow. My God. I'm shocked. I'm wondering if you're forgetting one or if you just really hate this album, but I'm waiting to hear until you're done.
Actually, I'll put Yay before Jesus is King. And then I'm putting Jesus King. Then I'm putting Yeezus. And Graduation's last to me.
That's wild. Wow. That is fucking crazy. Why do you hate Graduation so fucking much? That's crazy.
I've just never been a huge Graduation fan. Like, I can listen to it because I'm a huge Kanye fan. I still think it's a good album.
Yeah,
but it's
just
my least favorite out of all of them. Like,
damn.
It just never did it for me.
That is wild.
Yeah, nobody agrees with me on it. I don't know. I just, that's like okay to me.
That is wild. Tommy, do you want to go next? You want me to go next?
Yeah, I can go. So we start out exactly the same with the top two. My Beautiful Dark was my favorite album of the decade. A masterpiece. It has to be number one to me. So that goes number one. I put College Dropout number two also. Then I go way different and put Graduation number three because I love Graduation.
Okay.
And then Late Registration, then Yeezus, Life of Pablo, Yay, and then Jesus is King, I put last.
Okay. Sure.
Which Watch the Throne, I wasn't considering it in the, I was just doing the solo album, so I don't know exactly where I put it.
How I feel too, because I'm not putting Kids See Ghosts or Watch the Throne in mine.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
But if I did, I'd probably put both of them higher than Jesus is King, for sure. I think for me, it's definitely Dark Twisted Fantasy first. Then it's a little tough for me. I think I'm going to really fuck this up and say, shit, it's so hard. I like Late Registration a lot.
It's good. Really good.
But College Dropout is probably better. You know what? College Dropout is my number two also. And then I'm going to go Graduation after that. Then I would put Late Registration. And then before Late Registration, this is my controversial opinion. Over Late Registration, I'm putting Yeezus. I love Yeezus. I listen to Yeezus front to back all the time. It's still my workout album. Like, if I went on a long run yesterday or 2 days ago, that moment where you're like, oh, shit, I can't do anymore, Yeezus will get you through whatever you need. I love it so much. So then I'll put Late Registration. Then I'm going to go... I think I'm going to put Life of Pablo, then 808s. And then Yay, and then Jesus King. Yeah, I'm happy with that. But I put Yeezus higher than most people, I think. Where did you put Yeezus, Tommy?
I think I put it one spot below you only.
Oh, okay. I was tempted to put it third. Because I really love it, but
go with what's in your heart, man. Don't be ashamed.
I like Graduation. I can't deny how much I love Graduation, though. And I know it's people give me so much shit about it, and I know I say it a decent amount. But back then, especially, I fucking loved Coldplay, and I loved that. I loved that not only was Coldplay on the album, but that also Ye mentions that. He did a song with Coldplay. Next thing he knows, Jay's got a song with Coldplay. I also love that he calls Chris Martin Coldplay. I think it's so funny.
You are Coldplay. Your whole group is you.
I did a song with Coldplay. He's like, I'm Chris Martin. all right. Yeah, I'm glad we did those. And I'm very surprised that you put Graduation last, but you know that's why we do these things, is to hear crazy opinions that are insane.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's never done it for me.
All right, let's hear some more of 808s. We only have a couple more songs here, and we'll wrap this thing up. In fact, I might even just skip straight to Pinocchio, because let's just quickly, we'll hear Bad News.
I was waiting on you.
Oh, I like Bad News.
I like Bad News.
That'd never come true. Didn't you know I was waiting on you? My face turned to stone when I heard the news.
808s might be the most feelings album I've ever heard.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Pure feelings.
For sure. I mean, if we're going with just straight up feelings, it's between this and Frank Ocean Blonde, yep. I feel like. Mm. I like Blonde way more, but I do love this album. All right, here's See You in My Nightmares.
I like this one too.
Yeah, me too.
And I think Wayne killed it.
I got the right to put up a fight, but not quite. Cause you cut off my light, but my sight is better tonight, and I might see you in my nightmare.
Okay, here's Coldest Winter. Oh, we have Facebook to go to.
One of my favorites.
Yes.
To fade. On lonely nights I start to fade. Her love's a thousand miles away. Her love's a thousand miles away. Memories made in the coldest winter. Goodbye, my friend.
Damn. I love that song. That one's great. Finally, we have Pinocchio Story. And I believe this one's live, right?
Yeah, Pinocchio Story's live.
He did this one live. Okay.
I think Graduation might not be my craziest opinion.
I think you're right. If you love Pinocchio Story.
I think Pinocchio Story is my favorite song on the album.
Wow.
this is crazy.
Wild. Yeah, Pinocchio Story Freestyle Live from Singapore is the subtitle.
Oh, man. Let's listen to a lot of this.
It's so crazy, crazy, crazy. I got everything figured out. But for some reason, I can never find what real love is about. No doubt, everything in the world figured out. But I can never seem to find what real love was about. Do you think I sacrifice real life for all the fame and flashing lights? Do you think I sacrifice a real life for all the fame and flashing lights?
There is no Gucci I can buy. There is no Louis Vuitton to put on. There is no wise nail that they can sell to get my heart out of this hell and my mind out of this jail. There is no clothes that I could buy that could turn back in time. There is no vacation spot I could fly that could bring back a piece of real life.
He's about to finally get into the Pinocchio stuff.
Yes. That's what I've been waiting for, is the Pinocchio part.
It's going to happen.
What does it feel like to live a real life? I just want to be a real boy.
Yeah, there we go.
They always say Kanye, he keeps it real, boy. Pinocchio story is, I just want to be a real boy.
It's like he's telling us like we don't know.
Yeah.
It's funny, Pinocchio, and that's what kept
me. Here we go.
I tell the truth, and I keep running, running. It's like I'm looking for something out there, trying to find something. I turn on the TV and see me and see nothing.
Damn.
What does it feel like to live real life, to be real? That's some facade on TV that no one can really feel.
Okay. I just wanted to hear the Pinocchio version where he explains who Pinocchio is. In retrospect, I did enjoy that more than I remembered, and it's not bad. It's just that it's the actual meaning behind it is like when he gets into the Pinocchio, when he's it's I used to do a bit about this, but my favorite thing about Kanye is he can't just let you have like the metaphor. He always has to kind of tell you what he's talking about.
Tell you what he means by the metaphor. Like, bro, that's the point of doing the
I totally forgot about this bit. And if I've talked about it on the podcast, I apologize. But it was, I used to do a bit about homecoming from graduation and how at the beginning of the song, he's like, Shy City. I'm talking about Shy City. And it's about a girl named Wendy. And at the end of the song, it's all a metaphor, though, for Chicago. This love song to a girl named Wendy. And at the end of the song, he goes, if you don't know by now, I'm talking about Chi-Town. It's like such a weird thing to do, to just tell you what the metaphor is. Like, nobody else does that.
That's him thinking he's too smart.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, you don't understand. Like, I was the piano man, you know? It was me the whole time, you stupid fucks. Anyway, that was Pinocchio story. Why is that your favorite song on the album, though?
Now, here's the thing. So when it first came out, the album, it was my least favorite song. I hated it. I was like, oh, this is terrible. And I would like skip it and skip it. And then I'd listen to it. And I'd be like, oh, this sucks. And then years later, it grew on me for multiple reasons, right? For one, the more I became a Kanye fan of him as a person and an artist, I started thinking like, oh, this is the closest you're going to get to him being kind of humble, even though he's still cocky. It's like a mix of humble and cocky. It's really nice, like humble level Kanye.
Sure.
And then
sure.
Also, I think it's interesting to see like a celebrity go like, yeah, my life still sucks. Like, this is all great, but my life still sucks.
Yeah.
And I also just, it always makes me go, what if this had production? Like, he's such a great producer. If this had production, this would be one of the best songs ever.
I think that that's what bothers me the most about that song, because the production is terrible. Like, it's terrible. It's really bad. It sounds bad. And you guys, like, obviously there's a little bit of, you know, sound quality lost from me playing it on this, but I did play it through the board and it still sounded like shit. So, it's hard to say. I want to you just touched on something that I think is really interesting, which is the idea of a song you skip past for a long time and then it becomes a song you listen to a lot. I do that a lot with albums, and I think that's kind of this, I think there's a level of, it being almost new to you on an album that's old, yeah, where it makes you have this recency bias where you go, oh, I like that song the most. It's because it's the freshest to you. But that's not necessary. I think what you're saying is true, that it is the closest to humble Kanye we get. And have had for a long time.
I just like the part where he goes, it's funny, Pinocchio lied.
No, did you not hear? Oh, I was supposed to edit in a laugh track during that part. It's funny, Pinocchio lies. People go, ha ha. We don't have a We Went to Jared this week because Jared has never heard this album, so it didn't seem relevant to have him talk about it. That's one of our regular segments, Eagle. We do have another segment, though, where we go to the people I am Facebook friends with. I'm sure you've probably seen me post these before, but I posted today. We're talking about 808s and Heartbreak on the podcast today. If you got thoughts, a lot of people with thoughts, and I'm shocked by some of these. First of all, Josh Carter says, great album. Bill Gavert says, loved it immediately, still love it. And he said one other thought, he never should have let Beyonce talk him into putting that shitty last track on there, the live one. It sucks, and Coldest Winter was
Beyonce
perfect
talked
final.
Him into that.
I didn't know that. Wow. He says that the album ends right there on Coldest Winter for him. So Bill, maybe start going and revisiting, because that's what Eagle did too. He skipped it. Brandon Kirkman says Paranoid is the greatest song of the 2000s. That's insane.
Wow.
I don't know about all that, Brandon. Jordan Sellers says amazing. Great example of how one's life experiences inform the art. You can hear his pain and guilt about the situation with his mom. Sean Wilkinson says, really the only part that bothers me is Lil Wayne's verse. You think your shit don't stink, but you are Mrs. P.U. Yeah, that's maybe not great. Let's see here. This one's Jason Hillman says, love how a man can take a played out genre technique, use it to make an entire album where he almost steadfastly refuses to do anything remotely like anything he's done before. Has one of the weirdest press runs, all of this in the midst of three pronged tragedies. And what does he release? A stone cold classic. There's a few people on here saying it's his best album, which really surprises me. Holly Lene says my favorite album of his. She has her one is 808s, number two is Dark Twisted Fantasy, and number three, College Dropout. Garrett Elzinga says pretty sure it was the first of his albums to not feature cursing. It was pretty ahead of its time, and no one liked it upon its release, but it's grown to cult status. As for Poopity Scoop or whatever the fuck, ouchies. I disagree. I think Poopity Scoop is good. I said it already. I didn't know that he didn't curse on that. Is that true?
I didn't think about it, but I guess so. Yeah, it makes
That's
sense.
Crazy. I'm glad I read that because I had no idea. I love when I find that about something where it's like somebody points that out and I'm like, oh, I had no idea. As opposed to if he rubbed it in our faces, like, this is Kanye's clean album, I would have hated it way more.
I just found a tweet about this. So he does curse. This is what they say. A narrative circulated the album's devoid of curse words. However, Ye says, bitch, once on RoboCop.
That doesn't count.
And then it says, he says, hose twice during Pinocchio's
that
story.
Certainly
That's
doesn't
not a
count.
Swear.
You might argue that is not a friendly word to use, but it's not getting edited out of TV.
Yeah.
Man, Pete Bladell says, I love Graduation, wanted more of the same, and this was so different. I did not like it for years. I came around. It might be my second favorite after Dark Twisted Fantasy. Man, people are really high ranking. Jonah Jerkins sending that clip of Amazing that we listened to. Robbie Goodwin says 80% of modern rap owes everything to 808s. Interesting. And Tabari McCoy says that is reason enough to hate this album. Damn. Let's see. I got one more here. Dan Mendenhall says, while it's not one of my favorite Ye albums, it might be his most influential. Hip-hop and R&B in the 2010s doesn't sound the same without it and Kid Cudi's Man on the Moon. Oh, without that and Kid Cudi's Man on the Moon. Good comments, everybody. And this is a fun episode. There's no rating because we usually rate the playlist, but it doesn't... We already gave our our where we put it in his catalog. I think it's good enough. But any final thoughts here, Eagle? We usually give the guest a platform for the last minute or so to say whatever you want about Kanye, and we will not interrupt.
I could just praise him, you know, which people would probably be annoyed with at this point because I think of all the hate that Kanye has garnered over these past couple years. So what I will say is I'll give a Kanye memory. I worked at the Barclays Center, like, before I, like, did stand-up. And it was great. It was great. And I remember I used to, when I got the job, I was like, I'm going to watch all these NBA games. And everybody that worked there was like, no matter how much you love basketball, that's not going to be your favorite part. Like, your favorite part is going to be the concerts. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. I don't care. They were right. It was the concerts. The concerts were way better. And Kanye's concert was one of the best. And his Runaway song, when he performed Runaway, it's to this day the best live performance of anything I've ever seen in my life. Like, him performing Runaway was like brilliant on a level that was like crazy. Like, I've never seen someone control a crowd that way, like in stand up and anything. Like, it was like fucking phenomenal. And I think about it every day almost. I listen to Runaway and I only think of that performance. So yeah, that's it. That's my closing
comment. Awesome, I'm jealous as hell of that because Runaway is one of my favorite songs. That that album's perfect. There's nothing more to say about it because it has been said. But Eagle, thanks so much for coming on, man. Is there anything you want to plug?
You guys stay safe so we can do stand up again, man. I can't even plug any dates. There is
nothing. For sure.
All get rid of Corona.
I know. Yeah. Well, check out Eagle's Instagram at least. Yes. You got some good shit on there. And Tommy?
Yeah, just check out my album, officially available on vinyl, so buy that.
Hell yeah. All right. And like I said, I'll be in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Thursday through Saturday. Come hang out. 50% seating, so get tickets quick if you want to go at thebob.com. And wear a fucking mask, please. I don't want to get this shit.
Tom, it was funny really quick before when you posted that it was 50% seating. I was like, maybe I'll make a joke like, oh, all the shows. And I'm like, no, that's too stupid and hack. I shouldn't do that. And then I looked at Tim McLaughlin, made that joke.
Here's dude. I should have addressed this up top. It was hack 3 months ago to make that joke. Yeah. And every comic still makes it. It's crazy. It's one of those where how did you you were right. Your instinct was right. But no topic is too hacky for Tim to tackle. I will be there 50% capacity just like all my shows. Yep. And some very funny people. I'm not even making fun of the people who do it because there's so many funny people who have made the same fucking joke. But it's already hacked, so we'll all just use it, I guess. we're all going to need it at these weird-ass shows. But I think these are going to be fun. I love the club, and it's a cool town. So Grand Rapids, everybody. And then check out Comedy Central's Stand Up with Tom Tchicara, the podcast. All right, guys. Check out the Patreon, and we'll see you next week. Thanks again, Eagle.
Thanks again for doing it, Eagle.
Thanks for having me.
Keep it crispy. Bye.